to Zbrojovcast, the English language Zbrojovka.no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And God knows how this is going to pan out, David.
Yes, this is the first time we haven't had a plan for the episode.
Yes, several reasons for that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff has happened. I was away for a while. You've started a new job.
I started a new job. And can I tell you, David, it's been 5 weeks and it's already... somehow they've already found out that I do a football podcast that I try to keep very separate from my professional life due to the excessive amount of profanity that I use throughout these episodes. So hello, Martin, and everyone at my new job.
Yes.
I'm having a lovely time. This should not be seen as any sort of reflection on my character.
He's going to be using a lot of... how to describe it? Violent sexual imagery.
I'm going to use a lot of the B word, bannock. As we will particularly enjoy that. But look, considering that, let's get this out of the way, Zbrojovka Brno champions.
Yep.
Getting promoted back to the big time.
You're probably all aware of that fact, but it bears repeating.
Considering that before the last podcast we had, we were not there just yet.
Yeah.
This is going to be a lot more loose, where we talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's happened over, Christ, the last month and a half almost. A few things of the future, no real previews to speak of, but you'll be pleased to know a couple of our less popular features are still included here.
Yes. Which are the less popular features, Sam?
I don't know. I always think it's the beer, right? Because it's the idea of, like, would you... Well, no, people do on the internet, I guess. Because it's like, you know, you go and it's like, you wouldn't pay to watch someone eat a steak. Listening to someone drink a beer.
Yeah, well, it has endured. That's all I can say for that section. Anyway, we'll have a small snippet of music and then we're going to discuss in... sort of vague detail excessive detail the last some many games. Thank you. Since we last spoke to you, listener, we have had eight games of football.
A possible 24 points, a prize haul to be had.
Yes, we didn't get all 24
points. We got close.
Yes, we did. We got very close. I'll just run you through the results quickly, and then we can talk a little bit about a couple of the games. Home to Chudim, 2-0 victory with goals from Janecki and Texel, yeah. Then something happened, and we went to Opava and got thumped 4-0, which was odd, but yeah, it happened. Home to Žižkov, 1-0 win, thanks to Martin Rymarenko. 2-1, a surprisingly tricky away game at Jihlava, a 2-1 win with Benny Kanakimana getting both of the goals there. Slavia B away, 1-0 win, Tadeusz Vachoshek. Sealing the win and sealing the title, I think. That was the game.
Yes, this was sealed. The title was sealed because it, the inability of our next door neighbours or neighbours in our own home failing to beat Tabor.
That's right, yes. Then a very routine 3-0 win against Ustinad Labem, Žitný goal and Vacholšek with the other two. A 1-1 draw with Bannock B, which we were sort of in control of and threw it away a little bit at the end.
In the 94th minute or so, yes.
And that was Patrick Chavosh, who has been out for a while, so it's nice to see him back. And this very, very low-scoring series of games I would put down in part to him, because he's an absolute scurrier in that defensive midfield position. And then we beat Ham and Eggs Vlašim 1-0 with Benny Kanakimana scoring again. So, there we go. Where do you want to start?
I don't know, actually, because it's hard to sort of sum up, because also the pressure is sort of off us now, David, right? Because, you know, if you listen, and if you do speak Czech, I encourage you to listen to the really excellent podcast Flinta, who have been far more diligent than us at giving you the blow-by-blow and the play-by-play, whereas we have been, some might say, even cavalier in our approach to podcasting over 2026. But really, I think if we just, the one thing that I think you have to point out, right, is the 4-0 defeat yes. away to Opava. Basically, this was just one of these games in a lot of ways. Like, again, you know, a person that we have picked out in Opava for being a particularly good player, Mr. Babacar C, was, you know, scored early or whatever. And then again, a lot of it can be down to, you know, Markovic being sent off in the 24th, 25th minute or whatever. We did not make any real adjustments after that. We just played with a defender less. We didn't, like, bring anyone, you know, on, at the time of the red card. We just sort of closed into more of a sort of a three at the back. And I think that that's maybe the one thing, is that I think it's been a very positive 2026 for Zbrojovka. Some players that have been maybe, you know, sort of losing it a little bit towards the tail end of the first half of the season have got right back into form. I mean, Vahoshek, for example. Yeah. But there's always a sort of there's always somebody who gets left behind or something, which is, you know, maybe not quite right. And I think Markovic is not particularly good as a player for Zbrojovka Brno. Notwithstanding this red card, he just seems like a bit of an inflexible lump to me. And he's not getting played a lot, and I think it's for the reason is that he's not very good.
Yeah, defender fewer.
Every fucking time.
I couldn't. It's a tradition now. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's strange that Markovic was brought in actually to just. I mean, there are a couple of games that Pavel was at where he said that Vedral was looking like an absolute donkey. So maybe he was brought in to basically replace Vedral. And, of course, Vedral was only playing in those games because Markovic's red card. And, yeah, we sort of haven't quite found a partner for Hoffman yet. It looked like it was going to be Brečka early on. Vedral came in a little bit to sort of fill in, but, yeah.
Because I was at his first team debut. I was at the Prostějov away game, and I thought he was just very average.
Mm-hmm.
As in, not even as in fine, average. Like, as in, you will see far better centre-backs, you know, than him. And, it didn't really instill me with that much sort of confidence, particularly as, you know, there were times, you know, in the second half where, you know, let's not forget, it was a reasonably even game, and Prostějov did have some good chances, did equalise. It looked like we were heading towards a 1-1. But then you sort of follow that up with, and this one doesn't really, you know, need that much discussion, but the 2-0 game against Chrudim, where everyone was away except me and I went down. That and the Ústí nad Labem games were very, like, controlling games. Like, there was these games never really, I think there was one point. And I think it was one point where Chrudim broke free and kind of fluffed their lines a bit, you know, in front of goal. And I think that was, over those two matches, the only chance really that we restricted them to. It was a very comfortable performance, and one where it looked like, you know, we could have sort of added more. But there's no need to add more. You want to sort of preserve the, you know, sort of the, you know, we want to keep people injury free.
Yeah,
you want to,
exactly. Once you've
need to exert yourself.
Yeah, once you've got your two goals and you know you're probably not going to concede, because we concede very, very few.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That list of goal scorers, mainly wide players, Rymarenko, Kanakamana, Vachoshek, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, I know he's a favourite of mine, so I'm slightly biased at this. The fact that he's not up in the top goal scorers but continues to play shows what a really important job Velich is doing as the kind of front, you know, big man up front to bounce the balls off for the tricky wide players. Started the season like a train, has found himself off the goal scoring charts a bit, but with the amount of goals we're getting from everywhere else on the pitch, doesn't really need to at the moment, so there's that.
I mean, I would say, though, as well, that it's not like he hasn't been getting chances himself, and he hasn't particularly been quite good at finishing them. I mean, these are all nitpicky things, though. I mean, now, and it's been made clear by the management team, finally, even though it was rumoured, we want the points record.
Yes.
And the only way that we do that is we win our next two games.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that they're very focused on. So there is still that drive to succeed and so on. I'm not that bothered about the points record, really. I'm more bothered about getting, you know, a little bit of time in the legs again for everyone and seeing where we sort of end up, you know, in terms of the summer, because there will be, you know, players moving on from this squad. There has to be, because the jump up's going to be, you know, I think really bigger than a lot of maybe fans expect it to be.
So it's quite a big squad as well.
It's a huge squad.
So, yeah, I think there's going to be fairly judicious trimming around the edges. The kind of season end podcast, we can speculate about who that might be. I've got a couple of little stats for you.
Okay.
As we said, those goals from Vacholsek have taken him into first place in our team scoring. He's got 10 for the season. Who do you think is second now?
Second?
Yeah.
This might be something really strange. Is it Benny?
It is Benny, his recent sort of three or four in the last couple of months really put him up there. Again, wasn't really a regular starter in the first half of the season. Seems to have forced his way in. Fair play to him.
Yeah, I don't want him as a regular starter, though. That's the thing. I think that he's absolutely at his best when you're bringing him on with 20 minutes to go, because he has got that sort of, and don't take this the wrong way, the terrorism factor, right? That he just goes in and he just shakes up like the bat line because he runs at people.
Yeah.
And we don't really have a player that really sort of runs at people. We have good wingers and pacey players, but no one that really sort of attacks like that, tries to get into the space of, you know, worm your way into the box. So, like, I think he plays a really important role, and there has been times...
Bring back Moussa Ali.
Well, sure. But like almost like a like how Shade Morris at Aberdeen was, like, you know, the other season as well. He would come on with 15 minutes to go, end up getting player of the season just because he just kept coming in and actually, you know, turning things into, you know, positive results. So yeah, like, I mean, we have to definitely consider him as being on for next season, even if it is in that sort of role of being that sort of impact sub, because I think he does it really well.
Yeah. Next, I just got the top five goal scorers here. We've got Velich and Rymarenko both on 6, mm-hmm. and then Lukasz Forlitzky on 5, coming in there and, coming in, scoring 5 goals, getting injured.
Yes, I mean, it's not even had half a season, right?
So, no, that's pretty good. Defensively, 15 clean sheets from 28 games. Herdina comfortably top of the clean sheets chart. In those 28 games, we've only conceded 20 in total, and 4 of those were against Opava, of course. 2 of them were against Kromieric, of all people, when they were really, really poor, or, you know, their position in the table suggested they were very, very poor. Scored 57 in 28. 123, drawn 3, lost 2.
Yep.
So that's nice. Kromieric, by the way, you've got to give them a listen, fair play for digging themselves out of trouble.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, they looked hopeless at the the midway point. Like, they, you know, a team, I mean, they were the longest, I think, to get off the mark. I think they went something like the first 10 without a win or something like that. And by God, they've really sort of hauled themselves up. I mean, if you look at the sort of the last few matches that they've had, I mean, they beat Slavia B 5-0.
Yeah.
You know, the match before last, they've done the stuff that they need to. They beat Hrudin with a man down, Přibram, they beat Tabor. Taborsko away.
Yeah.
And they have really sort of like just like completely sort of hold themselves up by the bootstraps to the point that they are now mathematically safe.
Yes.
Well. No, they are not technically safe, but they are
not
safe.
Not but will be, yes.
Yes. I mean, you would have to have every team below them basically winning all their games and then losing both of them, which... It's not going to happen considering that too many teams are playing each other. Like the big one that's going to be happening this weekend is that Sparta B are playing Jihlava. I mean, that's the definition of a six-pointer, isn't it? So, you know, of the ones at the bottom, you fear for a couple of them.
Yeah. It's going to be between Sparta beat Yilava, Prosteov,
and Khrudim.
And Khrudim, yeah. It's going to be two of those four, isn't it, basically? Yeah.
Two of the four. And if Yilava beat Sparta B, and then, let's say, Prosteov lose, you fear for Prosteov. You say you fear for Prosteov. I would like Prosteov to get relegated because every time I go there, it's just such a dull town with not much going on.
We'll be on
there
next year, though, will we?
Well, that's true, unless we... we could go to a B team game, possibly.
I'm not going to be doing that.
But
in other stadium news, however, very quickly, we appear to have been replaced by wheelie bins.
Yes, so our standing spot, which has, and if you're listening at the club, been about 10 years at this point, in that specific barrier overlooking some of the seats beside the beer. You know, lads, the place where quite a lot of people stand now, that has been taken over by various recycling ventures on behalf of the club. Now, look, I like recycling. Yeah. I think it's very important.
Kids, always recycle.
But there's a fucking back wall where you can put all the bins out of everybody's way. Why, you know...
Yeah.
So I wasn't particularly happy about that. I have now been frequenting the extreme opposite, though. That same sort of bit, but from the right-hand side rather than the left. And it's actually been okay.
Yeah, cool.
Because you're not in it. I mean, it's got seats behind it, but you're not actually in anybody's way.
Yeah.
And that is also a very convenient beer stand beside it.
Yes, excellent. Maybe we'll try that from next year onwards. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right, I have nothing more particularly to say on that right now. Have you got anything?
We actually have, and we could go through this now if you want, because knowing that we didn't have really much to cover today, I went to twitter.com /Brewovcast and asked if anybody had any questions, and Roman has sent us some questions.
Okay, let's have a little break first, just so I can... break up the running order a bit so we don't have this massive chunk of talking.
People
and we can
like
do the question.
Talking chunks. It's a podcast.
Yeah, but this is a massive stretch now. So we're going to have a little bit and then we'll have the questions and answers, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So, yes, prepare for that. Hey, your questions. It's your questions. This is questions. It's your questions in this bit right now. Questions and answers is the bit we're doing now. Hooray.
I mean, sound more enthusiastic. It's been a month and a half. The people have demanded to...
The person have demanded.
Yeah.
There are some questions about the first league next year and ins and outs, which, as we've said, we'll do in the final episode in a couple of weeks' time. Deal with those then.
Yeah, after the last sort of run of matches, I have thoughts on
run of matches, two matches, but yeah,
you'll be run into them. I mean, two Saturdays to round us off.
Yeah,
as well. I mean, I don't really know if we're going to preview these. So I mean, I will say now that we are playing at home next, next Saturday at Kromyazhyzh.
Yeah, and then we finish with a home tie against Cheska Budějovice,
which may be Znojmo's Cheska Budějovice shortly, if reports are to be believed.
Yeah, yes, that's a curious one, but there we go. I'd kind of quite fancy Kromyazhyzh, but again, I'm not here this weekend, so not doing that.
And yeah, it's Eurovision Song Contest, so I'm not going to be
right. Yes,
either.
Of course. Yeah.
So the other dubious passion in my life. But I think what we could maybe talk about a bit more is, I mean, where would you say we could start from here? I was thinking six.
Yes, we can talk about six.
Because the ones before that are things like players that must stay in the must stay for the first league, you know, departures, things that are going to be strengthened, and so on. I also want to hear what Svedik says about this as well.
Yeah.
Because I would be surprised if we don't bring in at least half a dozen players over over the summer and take quite a few with. But I think the one that we have to point out is, yes, the special one, LV23.
Yes, Lukáš Forlický. What an absolute revelation he's been. We have mentioned his name on this podcast in glowing terms before. And I don't think it's a done dealio as yet, but I think Bono definitely, the player himself definitely, to a slightly lesser extent, Slavia Prague want the deal done. Slavia might need the money to pay off whatever massive whacking fines are coming their way, of course. So,
well, I mean, that's already been decided, right? So, not to spoil things, but there might be a section where I talk about this at length,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you as well. But I mean, there was already some sort of approach, apparently, in the region of around about €1 million, which was knocked back. The idea, and if you're listening to this as a long-time Zbrojovka supporter, the idea that Zbrojovka have offered that amount of money... No, I'll rephrase that. The idea that Zbrojovka Brno have offered money at all, it just blows your mind. It says a lot about what's happened with the club and what has been just like a wild year.
Yeah, it really does. Like, to have even got a player of that caliber on loan in the first place, you know, the ability to maybe, you know, obviously we don't know how the deal is structured, but the ability to like pay the man's wages or at least some of the man's wages, you know, we're looking at spending actual cash money on things. It's absolutely remarkable.
Look, and when was the last time, genuinely, that you had someone for Zbrojovka coming off the bench and you were like, you're actually, you know, you're there and you're in your seat or in the stand and you're excited.
Yeah.
You're excited that he's going to come on. You're going to be like, oh, he's going to see what he can do. He's going to, you know, it is that sort of almost special one territory for, you know, even though it was only about a run of about 6-7 games that we had him before for the injury. But I mean, truly, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen someone like that who has made an impact coming on every single time, has single-handedly won points for the side.
Yeah.
Like, it's craziness.
I can answer that question. Marek Heinz.
And how long ago was that? 20...
2008, maybe? Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, well before my time. So, yeah, that's something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he absolutely has to say... I mean, I've tweeted, I think, these exact words, which is... sign him at any cost.
Yes.
And that's what I believe there. However, we do have a number of players, the young lads, out on loan, don't we? We have Večera, Sal, Kukic, Kriš, Toman.
Yeah.
A variety of different establishments. Do we see really any potential in them, I would suppose? Because I would say possibly Sal.
Yeah, Sal, one of the few players to actually play a couple of first team games. Mm-hmm. But he really... He is cursed in a way, mm-hmm. by being one of the first players brought in by the new owners before we realise what sort of level of players we could then go after.
Yeah.
So he's slightly cursed in that regard. I don't think, honestly, any of those players will make the cut in the first league. We may well retain them and keep them out on loan just to see for another year how they're going. But in the case of Sal and Kutik and Toman, we're getting to the point where they're like 21, 22-ish mm-hmm. already. You know, these are not whelps. They're not 17-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they want to stick around at that age, they really should be at first league level, and I don't think any of them are, unfortunately. Artists might want them, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking that, because, I mean, artists, to the extent or whatever they have really or they care really about a youth development programme is one for debating. But what I would, you know, maybe, you know, sort of say, you know, to that is... Look, I mean, I don't know, right? Because the one that I think that you talk about, because it was sort of big news at the time, was the crossing of the street, so to speak, of a Mr. You know, Daniel Schwanzara.
Yes.
And this was supposed to be, I'm not getting enough opportunities. I'm not doing this. You know, I'm not doing that. And you know, I think that we made it kind of clear that we didn't necessarily think he was really good enough. And it's and to be fair, it's hard to break into a team that's so successful. It so well. You have players that, you know, get churned up by, you know, like your Man Cities and your Liverpools or whatever, yeah, that will go a career without having a sniff of the first team. But it's not like the way that it was sort of described to everyone as being this sort of, oh, he's going to come in and, oh, Artis will treat him right and Artis will show him, you know, the way. Okay, he played an hour the other day against Opava in the in Artis's 2-0 win. Opava, who are absolutely hell-bent on, like, not getting to the playoffs. Yes. They've completely chucked it. But before this, I mean, you know, 3 minutes against Příbram, on the bench for the entirety of the Prostějov match, 7 minutes against Budějovice, on the bench against Tábor, on the bench against Sparta B, 20 minutes against Vlašim, on the bench against Kroměříž, 19 minutes when they got taken apart by Ústí nad Labem, 7 minutes when they, you know, we beat them. So it's not like he's come in and he's this sort of sure starter or whatever. He's, yeah, like, he is. And it's okay to say this because he's 20. He is still a limited player. Now, he could get really good, but I think that the time is possibly running out. Like you say, these people, you know, these players aren't, yeah, you know, young whippersnappers, yeah, anymore. And maybe that's harsh, but actually, you know what, I don't really care, because the way that, you know, it, he was sort of like, or his dad more, you know, pointedly was sort of, you know, running his mouth about the whole thing.
Yeah. Schranzer Senior running his mouth, there's a surprise. Talking about youth development, the club have secured a site to the south of the city to build their new sort of, you know, industrial training complex. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a massive overhaul of all the club's operations. It's going to be, I think, 4 or 6 pitches, one with like small stands for the B team to play at.
The whole thing looks awesome,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, training centre, youth team training centre, all the offices, everything will be centralised in one place like an actual football club, mm-hmm, would have. So yeah, that's near like Mienin, I think. So it's,
yeah,
10 miles south of Brno, something like that.
Has to be for that size, you know, and so on. Like I mean, it does lead us on to what Roman was also questioning, which is about, which is kind of an open question because it was about academy graduates. So, you know, your Kladky, Ševčík, Janošek, Krejčí, Jurásek, which, you know, players that, you know, some of them at least that we have been linked with in terms of like them, you know, a return. I think some of those are wishful thinking. Like I would be highly surprised if we ever saw, you know, Ladja Krejčí in a Zbrojovka, yes, shirt in the next, yeah, you know, 10 years or whatever.
Yeah. David Jurásek is happy ripping it up in Portugal or whatever. So.
Yet, you know, we have been mooted as having a return for Ševčík. There's been the thought that Václav Kladký might come in as well.
Yeah.
Possibly if, you know, Adam Hrdina decides to go, you know, back to Slovan for whatever reason. But I think more what I'd rather deal with on that point is more just what you were saying there about the academy and having these training pitches and having this training centre. Because for the longest time, Zbrojovka was regarded as this team that was producing some of the best players in the country, as those names suggest.
Indeed.
And what was happening was, well, two things. First of all, they were just getting rid of at a pittance because we had an ownership structure that wanted to take as much money as possible for themselves and not give it back to the club. So when someone comes along and says 30 million crowns for Krejčí, you grab it, and then that's, you know, yeah, we never see that money ever again. But also that there have been at times very limited options maybe available for some of our young players, with a few noticeable exceptions. You know, older listeners might remember, you know, how we were, they were trying so hard to force Martin Zekel onto everyone. Didn't work out. And I think that because some of those went so badly, there was sort of a movement away from that. There's going to be less opportunities for the youth side in the next season,
yes,
because we're going to be up in the top flight. So what you have to do to counteract that is still try to build one of the best academies in the country to then build up a B team. And I don't like B teams in the league, but we've got to play the game, that are going to be functional organizations and mid-table, maybe in, you know, the Druhá liga.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I can do no more than reiterate that. Really, it is odd, and we've said this year in, year out, that the Czech Republic's second biggest city does not have this kind of sporting infrastructure, that people are, like, young players are having their heads turned by, you know, not even maybe big top flight clubs, but like Sigmar Olomouc,
we should not be,
for example.
Exactly, we should not be having a team that's losing out in top talent to fucking Sigmar Olomouc, you know?
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. The idea is that this whole training complex and whole youth setup is, the idea is to attract not just the best talents in Brno, but in like Moravia and eventually across the country. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's...
It's the only way we're going to win the Conference League.
Exactly, yeah.
But look, thank you for those questions. Roman, I'm going to save the rest of these questions for the next podcast.
Yes.
Because they're very good. And also, it's nice to hear from you. I hope you're well. It's been a while.
It has.
Since we saw each other on the terraces. So do we want to do a bit now, a regular feature?
Should we do hot or not?
Let's do that.
It's the very o'clock for hot or not. So let's do that, hot or not. Was that more enthusiastic of a...
I thought it was. I could. It was palpable.
Thanks. Yeah.
Look, I mean, I feel like I've done a bit of talking too much, so I might rest my vocal cords, take a sip of beer and ask you to give me a hot or not, David.
Right. I'm going to start with a not, which is obviously a negative way to start things, but, you know, that's the format. My not is Spygate 2.0, as it's been being called.
I've been following this. I was speaking to a Mr. Charles DeParc,
yes,
over the weekend, who was very interested in this as well.
Celebrity Southampton fan. Southampton fan. Yes, if anybody doesn't know about this, it is a real shame that the end of the championship has come to this, or that this is being talked about over the end of the championship, because it's been such a wild, unpredictable, manic, brilliant season of championship football. Mm-hmm. And to have this hanging over the playoff final is kind of a shame. Basically, Southampton have got into trouble with the FA because they sent somebody to Middlesbrough's training camp to spy on them before their playoff semi-final win. Middlesbrough have been very vocal in what they want to happen to Southampton, i.e., being booted out.
Yeah.
And Southampton have made a couple of statements, neither confirming nor denying any action. And in every press conference, Tonda Eckhart, their manager, has been asked about this and has just is refusing to talk because he's clearly been told, don't say anything. I feel this is one of the things that maybe he didn't know about. I don't know. But... he was actually basically the press officer in his last press conference escorted him out because basically it was all anyone wanted to talk about,
yeah,
and he had literally nothing to say or was told, you have nothing to say on this matter. So, yeah, it's kind of a shame that that's hanging over the playoff final, but hey-ho, I'm sure it'll be fun anyway.
I mean, this is I mean, my understanding as well is that where sort of Middlesbrough train, there's like a hotel where you can just see over them and watch training if you wanted. So was it not a case of someone, like, you know, just like booking themselves into this sort of hotel and then getting the binoculars out or some such?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, if that's the case, then I don't know how...
It feels like poor planning.
Yes, and I don't know where you can draw the line between spying and just watching out of a window.
I mean, I don't believe there was any, because when we've heard these things before, there's usually been like some sort of drone involved.
Yeah,
I think was it at the Women's World Cup there was something like this a while ago.
There was one with I think
Canada possibly rings a bell.
There was one with I think Chelsea where it was a it was very old school about somebody just hiding in some bushes.
Yeah,
just very kind of Inspector Clouseau, and I enjoyed that greatly.
Hey, you in the bushes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's my not. It's just a kind of a shame. It's mm-hmm. hanging over the playoff final, but I'm sure it will be fun anyway.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want to give me something?
My not is exactly what you think it is, David.
Yep.
My not is SKS. So
yeah.
My not is Slavia Prague, and very specifically, a certain number of people associated with Slavia Prague after the events that unfolded, let's say, at the recent derby. Just mental.
Yeah. However, they have taken the title of stupidest pitch invasion off Rochdale.
That was very good, so that's, wasn't it? That, yes. Yeah. The so for context, obviously, listener, Slavia and Sparta don't like each other, and they like each other even worse when they're first and second in the league, and there's a chance to win the title again. So what happened essentially is that before this, it was a half decent game of football was breaking out. It was 3-2 to Slavia. And then in the 96th, I want to say, minute,
I think so.
There was, can only be described as a full-on pitch invasion.
Yes.
Mostly coming from the north stand of Aden, which, I mean, lots of people. Now, that's bad enough. What happened, though, was then fans coming onto the pitch with flares, with projectiles, and not just, you know, doing the classic running the full length of the pitch to try and attack the away support, but attacking the Sparta Prague players themselves. Also, I believe, causing some damage to, I think it was the pitch or the goal mouth or something like this. This caused the game to be abandoned. There has been a response kind of unseen before in Czech football after this. News came out, it was today or yesterday, that now Slavia have been fined 10 million Czech crowns for this. They are now going to have a four-match behind closed doors ban, and that will go on to next season as well. There will be a forfeit of that match that they were winning, you know, 3-2. This is unlikely to cause, I would say, Slavia to lose the title, because there is...
It will peg them back to 5 points between Slavia and Sparta.
With two games to play.
Yes, with two to play.
Which seems, it seems very unlikely. So they will, but at least on the surface, these supporters have cost their club the league title. And there is now a massive falling out occurring between Slavia Prague supporters. And let's remember, there are a lot more Slavia Prague supporters than just 100 morons being on the pitch. But the main fan / ultra section of the Slavia support, the Tribuna Sever, and also the leadership of Slavia Prague itself. Whether or not Tribuna Sever recover from this is a matter for debate, because their leader, who has sort of quote-unquote retired or stepped down from this, I believe has already been issued with a lifetime ban from the club.
Right.
They have released couple of statements. There was one today from him directly, which was still not great, but was better. The first one that came out by Tribuna Sever basically said, we didn't know what the time was, and also, why didn't Sparta Prague fight back?
Yes, which is that was incredible. Like,
the most tone-deaf thing I've heard for a long time.
Yeah, that was amazing. So what was the gist of his reply or his statement today?
Would you like me to read some of it for
Certainly
you?
Certainly would.
So this is just a very abridged version from it. I think that the important thing here is that there is a little bit of accountability. So I don't want to be a well-known person or celebrity. We operate according to certain rules in the cartel, the fans zone. Therefore, I asked the boys to publish my message through the profile of the whole Tribune.
Right.
Tribuna Sabera, this is their statement technically. What I owe you all as SKS fans, not the issue. And like at the end of the match, I called people too early to celebrate. It was a few minutes earlier than it should have been. It's my big mistake, and I am so sorry. Trust me, I would take it back 100 times if I knew that would trigger it. All challenges and efforts did not work before the end. We tried to stop the fans in vain. Now, this is my issue with it, because if you are okay, I get this, because sometimes you do lose track of time. You do lose the run of yourself. Someone hears something and they think it's the referee's final whistle.
Yeah.
look, I've got no issue with that. That's happened before. I've seen that happen before. There's a big difference between going onto the pitch to celebrate and going onto the pitch with pyrotechnics.
Yes.
And starting some shit up. Does go on, the statement does go on to say that taking the pyrotechnics and stuff like that was not particularly a good look as well. There is at least a bit of culpability there.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen, though, is that they have already been incredibly efficient, the Czech police, in identifying quite a lot of the people in the pitch, and they are pressing charges, everyone. So not only are they getting lifetime bans from Aden, but also there's a genuine threat, I think, of jail time for some people over this.
Yeah.
There is one particular teenager that I believe has gone into hiding because he thought it was a good idea to not only, you know, sort of like have his face uncovered, but also Instagram himself while he was on the pitch. But look, and I mean, this is all, you know, it's what everyone's been talking about, right? And it's a particularly bad look. But what I object to the most about this is how, look, this is going to now, I feel, cause a complete overreaction is not the word, but a complete tightening down of any fan activity at any football match anywhere in this country. Now, I am not for 1 minute going to defend the actions of our particular ultra section. However, I do think that it's fair to say that over the past maybe year or so or whatever, with those guys, there is a far bigger element of self-policing happening.
Yes,
we are not seeing a lot of previous bad behaviour that has been associated with Borovka Brno. And that has included people going onto the pitch, and that has included the damage to property. Obviously, we have that notorious thing that happened in Opava with the Zbrovka Jugend, which actually...
Usti as well, to be fair.
Yeah, Usti, yes. And actually, to be fair, and what the ultras did when they actually saw that, and, you know, of course there was pressure in the background, but they were like, we will help the club to pay for this and tell people not to do it.
Yeah.
We are getting a bit more sensible, and I think they do realise that there is maybe limits to things sometimes. Like, I've got no issue with everyone singing their hearts out or whatever, and even though I might find it distasteful, the use of after a match or selectively whatever pyrotechnics and having a bit of a laugh with that. But what's going to now happen is that there's going to be more strenuous searches at games. The police are going to start detaining people for very little sort of reason or whatever, because they'll fear that something will happen again. All the chat about reducing the, you know, sort of the walls and the barriers in things like away sections, home sections, the stadiums, that's going to be completely off the table now. And really, that is I think it's destroying a lot of it for, you know, the average football fan. Yeah. Because actually, compared with other sports, and I mean this and it's truly globally or whatever, you know, no one gets as bad a deal as football supporters.
True, yeah.
You know, it's, you know, they never have, you know, the carpet is rolled out by stewards and police and whatever if you follow the rugby, if you follow the cricket, if you follow tennis or whatever. If you are a football fan, you're automatically seen as some sort of threat. You have a lot of, you know, especially in the UK with things like alcohol and stuff like this, you know, restricted, you're caged in after matches and stuff like this. It's terrible. This sets back the cause of trying to actually get these things overturned.
Yeah.
Realise that was about 15 minutes talking
all right.
about that.
That's all
but
right.
I think it's really important to say.
I've got a very, very quick hot
thankfully.
For you. Tomáš Skublák, who you won't have heard of, I assume.
I don't think so.
No, there is no reason for you to have heard of him at all. He is a forward. He plays for Inter Toronto.
Yeah.
We're going to skip over Inter Toronto as a absolutely shit name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
North American football club, it's shit name. Shocker.
Shocker, yes. And he is also an estate agent. Because it's, it's not... Yes.
Yeah, I saw you this. See this is great.
You see this? Yeah. Last weekend, he scored a goal and then bent down to his sock, pulled his business card out of his sock and showed it to the camera in the hope of drumming up some extra business. And, you know, you got to respect the hustle.
I love that. That is so good. That is so good.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Creative. Loved it.
All right. Well, I'll go for a very quick hot then as well, which is the last day of the Scottish Championship.
Right.
Which I thought was like, because like for the longest time we knew St Johnstone were going to win to get promoted back to the Premier, the Premiership. But it was in Scotland, if you don't know, if you're 10th place in the Championship, you're automatically relegated. If you are 9th, you go into a playoff with the second, third and fourth of the league below. And then whoever wins that playoff, which is over two legs and two matches, that will replace whoever it is in the you know, in the Championship or whatever. And we went into the final match of of the season, which was Ross County against Raith Rovers, Ross County being in the bottom place, nightmare season, and then also Morton and Airdrieonians playing each other as well. So you had four teams involved, two of which playing each other, and every one of them at one point had a chance to be directly relegated. And it was mental.
Fun.
So, I mean, at one point, Airdrie take the lead. They then, 10 minutes later, get a man sent off and try and defend this lead away to a very patchy Morton side who end up pulling up level. And that is putting Airdrieonians in 10th. Meanwhile, Ross County look to be saving themselves by getting into going 1-0 up at Raith Rovers. They then decide to lose two goals in the space of 4 minutes to go 2-1 and be directly relegated. There is the definition of a grandstand finish, which is there is 8 minutes of extra time. In the 6th minute, they make it 2-2.
Yep.
Still need a goal to survive. They kick off and immediately concede a penalty by basically scything down a boy. Josh Mullen, who I believe used to be a former Ross County player, scores the penalty. They whistle for full time and Akil Wright loses his head and gets a straight red after the final whistle, and they all have a scrap.
Great.
Excellent viewing.
Yeah.
Scenes that we do want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yes, that's, yeah, good hops and good knots, everybody. Well done.
Oh, and as an aside,
yeah,
the playoffs or whatever, Airdrie got relegated anyway. So, should we have a beer or something?
Yes, let's do that in scenes everyone wants to see. And now's the time. The time has come again for
Beer of the Podcast!
That was weird. A lovely baritone.
Me loudly putting my phone down on the coffee table.
Fine.
What juicy delight do you have in front of me?
Yes, it's very yellow, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, yeah. Yes, or Donovan, of course, mellow yellow. There we go. This is from the Topolsky Pivovar.
Okay.
Which I have never heard of.
Me neither.
Which is in the town. I use the word town quite wrongly. Small settlement of Topolne.
Okay.
Named after somebody who really disliked the character Dr. Hans Zarkov in Flash Gordon.
We're in Obetz territory, it feels.
I think we are. I'm going to actually find out where Topolne is, because I didn't actually look it up. That Hans Zarkov joke, by the way, is possibly the most obscure reference I've ever done on this podcast, and that is saying something.
I mean, it could be the most obscure reference anyone has ever done on this podcast, and I spent half an episode talking about the film Beethoven. And its follow-up, Beethoven 2nd.
Topolna. It is. Yes, it's Topolna, not Topolne. It is just northeast of Uherské Hradiště.
Okay.
So about an hour and a half's drive from here. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Things aren't looking good right now in Uherské Hradiště.
They certainly aren't, no.
We haven't actually. I can't believe we actually didn't mention at all that there's a very real possibility that Banik Ostrava could be relegated.
Yes, that would be awfully funny. We'll talk about the possible. Well,
if we'll talk happens, about the results.
Yes, exactly. If that happens, you'll hear about them next time, listener.
And but, look, if you are, you know, of that sort of persuasion, or you're involved in Banik Ostrava, you do not have my very best wishes.
So this we have here today, this very yellow brew, is a guava and mandarin sour.
Okay.
Yeah. I got this. I also got just for me when I get back from Budapest, for that is where I'm going, listener, is sitting in the fridge now. The Old Cock Brewery, which is possibly one of the worst names. It's one of those. It's in English, lol.
I'm not going to make the jokes.
They have a lager called Burko. So I got myself a bottle of that as well. So there we go.
Gone but not forgotten.
Gone but not forgotten, indeed. So yeah, this is Guava Mandarin Sour, 4.8, so not falling over water necessarily. 150 crowns for 750 mil.
Feels about the going these days for a sour.
Yeah, it certainly is. Let's have a go on this.
Yeah.
Certainly smells of mandarin and sour.
That has opened up a kind of a weird sensory thing for me now. Yeah. So this might be, I don't know if this counts for you or other people, maybe around my age at school. But like, at least where, so I grew up, went to school in the 90s in the northeast of Scotland. And when you had, you know, your school dinner or whatever, you used to get a thing of juice, you know, cup of juice with it, like, you know, sort of like actually quite concentrated sort of squash actually. And there was a tropical one. And the tropical one smells exactly... almost exactly what this is the nose. Like, this is taking me back to the tables being out in what is, you know, a gym hall, right? While you have your school dinner. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I've not genuinely thought about that for like 30 years. That's crazy.
Let's see what if it tastes like incredibly concentrated yet diluted juice.
Do you have any iced sponge and custard I can have with it? Oh, they couldn't even serve that in a school.
Tasty.
It's got a pleasant thickness to it.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a bad way.
It reminds me very much of... Do you remember a couple of years ago, we went to see Escarlichen As Was and stopped in that very good...
very good.
...pub on the main street through Lichen afterwards. And I had an inadvisable amount of something similar to this that I discovered later was about 7%.
Yeah.
And, came home and basically immediately fell asleep. Yeah, this is very similar to that. It's very nice.
It's a good one. Well played on this one. It's not too sweet and it's not too sour.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely stuff.
Yeah. Just enough fruit to make it pleasant. Very sippable.
Bit of body on it. Yeah. Yeah, lovely. Well done.
Right. Well.
It's about us, isn't it?
Yeah. In an unusual move, because we don't really have any previews for the next two because season's over basically. We are going to love you and leave you there. We will be back, as we said, at the end of the season in two games. Time for a summing up and a little look forward and bits and pieces like that. So, I think for the moment...
Bye. Дитка сороден, а волай моте мотре. А волай моте мотре. А волай моте мотре. Он мараче на дитка. Дитка сороден.
Tak nechť všeho a pojďme mezi nás, slepte motel modrý.